right now at 7.
We're taking it to a whole nother level with a sense of urgency.
California leaders with a swift response to the mass shooting in Texas. The plan to put new gun laws on the fast track.
We've passed so many different gun laws in this state now, and we continue to have mass shootings. I think that that approach really hasn't worked.
What do you tell him when he asks you, Daddy, am I going to get shot?
And as police step up patrols at Bay Area schools, parents are struggling with how to reassure their children.
Fog spreading out over the city. It's going to spread inland, and that means an end to that inland heat wave. We'll take a look at a cooler Thursday in the First Alert forecast.
I'm going to St. Mary's.
I'm going to UC Davis.
I'll be going to Santa Clara University.
Pretty impressive. Every single graduate of this Oakland school is headed to a four-year college, the new model of education that helped them get there. Right now at 7 and streaming on CBS News Bay Area. As parents struggle to reassure their kids, lawmakers in Sacramento are taking swift action in the wake of the Texas school tragedy. Good evening. I'm Elizabeth Cook. As the nation mourns the 19 students and two teachers killed yesterday, California is putting a slate of proposed new gun laws on the fast track, one that would allow private citizens to sue makers and sellers of illegal guns just cleared the state Senate. Another would require school officials to investigate and report any threats of a mass shooting. A third bill would restrict firearm advertisements to minors. Lawmakers are also considering several actions on ghost guns.
We
need to
get dangerous guns and weapons of war off the streets. That's what we're here to do. That's what we're focused on. We have too many guns. We have a gun culture. We've come to accept this, normalize this, and providing that right of private action for people to get these dangerous guns, these weapons of war, have led to so much carnage and death, not just these mass shootings, but shootings every single day that do not capture our attention as they should, I think is principled and appropriate under the extraordinary circumstances that we are living through in this state.
California Republican leaders argue the solution isn't more gun laws, but rather enforcing the ones already on the books. They specifically point to the Attorney General's armed and prohibited persons list.
We have tens of thousands of people on this list. They still have not been disarmed. The Attorney General, Rob Bonta, has the power to go out there and take care of these individuals. He hasn't done it. So here in California, if we really are serious about addressing gun violence and going after the perpetrators and trying to prevent these things, those are two things we could go after right now.
Let's take a live look now toward Foster City, where a community vigil is set to begin about 30 minutes from now. It will be held at the gazebo at Leo J. Ryan Memorial Park. Our Sarah Donchi will be there. Look for her report tonight at 11. In response to this tragedy, law enforcement agencies throughout the Bay Area are making themselves more visible by increasing patrols at schools. Meanwhile, parents are also trying to reassure their children. As KPIX5's Kenny Choi reports, those conversations can be very different for each family.
Many parents are trying to determine what's the appropriate age to talk about gun violence, especially when it happens inside schools. There's no clear scientific answer, of course, but there are some helpful guidelines as parents have these delicate conversations with their children.
I know the day is coming soon when he says, Daddy, am I going to get shot?
Responding truthfully to a question like that isn't easy.
We're having trouble understanding how to address it.
Like so many parents, Vicente and his wife, who have two young children, including a six-year-old who's starting to ask a lot of questions, there's a fine line between saying too much and too little.
It's difficult to broach without really being explicit, and I guess that's part of the confusion is just, you know, how do you approach it?
Don't overexplain. Don't overtalk.
Michael Robb of Common Sense Media says if a child seven or younger doesn't ask about something like a mass shooting, there's no need to address it for the most part. But that line gets blurred for children eight and older, who are more inquisitive and exposed to more sources of information, sometimes exaggerated and inaccurate from classmates in school.
We can get into it a little bit, but I would leave out grisly stuff, especially for younger kids, and just keep it on really simple, just the facts, without a lot of, you know, intense detail about exactly what happened.
Experts say carefully consider your child's maturity and temperament and tell them that your family is safe, loved, and valued when questions about gun violence arise.
My heart's already broken in anticipation because I know it's probably going to happen.
What do you tell him when he asks you, Daddy, am I going to get shot?
Well, when it happens, and I'm sure it will, I'm going to say no, I'm your daddy, and I'm going to protect you from that no matter what. I have to tell him that because he has to feel safe and that his daddy is going to protect him, but I only feel 99% sure of that, and that's that 1% rattling around in your brain constantly that can wreck it.
Experts say one of the most important pieces of advice during these conversations is to emphasize to your kids that you are there as a parent to answer any questions that they may have. In San Francisco, Kenny Choi, KPIX 5.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Our Gianna Franco hosted a conversation with several Bay Area health professionals about the struggles so many of us face in these difficult times.
Finding a therapist or counselor, let's be honest, it can be a process. Sometimes it can take weeks, even months, to just get a referral, and the costs can be sky high. If you're not covered by insurance, what do you do if you can't find one?
You can see our half-hour special right after this newscast, streaming on CBS News Bay Area. Find us on the CBS News app or on Pluto TV, channel 1021. All right, let's switch gears here for a moment, turning now to weather, which is pretty much night and day, depending on what side of the bay you're on. Inland areas are baking as a cool fog covers San Francisco. First alert, meteorologist Paul Hagen is here now. And Paul, is anyone going to benefit from this sort of natural air conditioning we're getting?
Everybody gets in on the cooling trend tomorrow. It happened around the bay and along the coast today, kind of made its way into the inland valleys late this afternoon, but everybody back to close to average temperatures tomorrow. So some relief from the heat. There is the fog spreading out. Great shot from the top of Salesforce Tower as we look towards Sutro Tower, just poking out above the fog. Those high temperatures today, all over the place. Only reached 63 at Half Moon Bay, but got almost 40 degrees warmer than that in Livermore. 102 degrees, that's a new record for today. Into the 90s in San Jose and Santa Rosa, into the 80s in Fremont, 70s in Oakland, upper 60s in San Francisco, though. There's the cooling trend already. Today's high in San Francisco, about 10 degrees cooler than yesterday's. And as the marine air makes its way farther and farther inland, tomorrow's high temperatures are going to be a lot closer to what's typical for late May, within 3 or 4 degrees on either side of average. 60s around the bay, 70s and 80s farther inland. Those temperatures are going to drop even a little bit more as we head into the holiday weekend. We'll track that coming up in the First Alert forecast.
All right, Paul, thank you. New at 7, a high school in Oakland's Fruitvale neighborhood is celebrating a hard-earned achievement tonight. The entire senior class at Cristo Rey De La Salle has been accepted to a four-year college. And as KPIX 5's Julia Goodrich shows us, they had to work at more than just their grades to succeed.
Beatriz Farias, and I'm going to St. Mary's.
My name is Andy Ramos, and I'm going to UC Davis. Go Aggies!
These students worked hard.
My name is Anaisa Gutierrez, and I'm going to SF State.
And their hard work paid off. 50 graduating seniors, 100% college acceptance rate for this inaugural class. Janiela Johnson is going to North Carolina A&T.
And so that like set off my major, which I'm majoring in computer engineering.
This is the first graduating class to take part in a school curriculum combining classes with on-the-job professional work experience.
I can't even get it. I'm so happy. They gave her all the scholarships today, and then I seen the t-shirt that she got at A&T. I'm so happy and so excited. I'm so happy that she got it.
The students are employed one day a week at a company to help pay for their tuition.
My first year, I worked at Chevron Corp as a real estate in the real estate department. My second year, I worked in victim witness in the Family Justice Center.
And now she's headed to Cal Poly.
Most of us are all first generation, so you wouldn't expect a whole senior class to go to college.
We serve mostly first gen students who come from disadvantaged backgrounds, and they work hard.
They're so proud to have all A's all year long.
You know, coming here, seeing that exposure to the companies, to the industries that they offer, and the experience of the corporate work study, that sense of, you know, responsibility, hard work, you know, pushing you to strive for greatness, ultimately is what led me here, as well as the community, you know, being able to represent my community here in Oakland.
So I'm so proud of him.
Hi, my name's Kathy, and I'll be going to Santa Clara University.
The class of 2022 leaving their mark and setting the example for future students at the school.
We did not doubt them. It was just a matter of helping them step by step through the process.
In Oakland, Juliette Goodrich, KPIX 5.